Internet and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
It's the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network. We're back. So we said we were going to do a show 2 weeks ago, and Sam couldn't be bothered, so we didn't do it.
Yep.
I'm not sure that's exactly how it went.
I believe he said, I don't care, you can all die.
Well, I'd say that often.
Yeah. So we didn't do a show. So apologies for that, but we're back today. Hooray!
We didn't do a show because no one could be asked.
Yeah, I had a lot of stuff to do that weekend, and I just couldn't fit in a show, and you guys didn't remind me, so.
Yeah, well, you didn't remind us. Just didn't remind me, and neither did you.
Okay.
Paul, you should know by now that me and Sam don't actually use our calendars or reminders on our phones. We use you for them.
So, yeah, we apologize.
When's my dental appointment about?
We've not been here, and that was crappy on our part, but we're back, and we have a review. We have a review, ladies and gentlemen.
Saying, thank God
these
we're
guys
gone.
Are they don't record regularly.
It's like, thank God they're off the air. I no longer prowl the internet in fear.
It's from Foreign Clakes, and it's 5 stars, and it's titled Going Strong. I've been a long time listener to this podcast, having previously reviewed The Gamer Show some time ago. However, this episode deserved another review because it was bloody brilliant. Witty, informative, and even a little highbrow in one particular news item.
No.
It was great to hear.
I think he's reviewed the wrong podcast.
It was great to hear the reviews of South Park, Thief, the Lego Marvel game. All in all, The Gamer Show is going strong and a great alternative way of finding out about what's in the gaming world. Cheers, guys. So thank you, Foreign.
You what?
Yeah, apparently people like us. Yeah.
Are we a source of news?
It's a scary thought, I know.
Basically, all our news is like 3 weeks late this week, so...
Yeah, I know. We actually didn't even have the Facebook Oculus Rift thing in the news because it was that long ago.
We're coming to you from the past.
But then again, if you're interested in what's currently going on in gaming, listening to a podcast that's out every 2 weeks is not the way it's going.
That is very, very true, yes.
Okay, this is coming in your ears from yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Right. Anyway, okay, on to the news.
And the day after it comes back out.
Yeah.
So Amazon released a set-top box called the Amazon Fire TV. Well, they announced it's not actually available in the UK yet. I believe it's available in the States, $99.
Is this just not Apple TV mixed in with Ouya?
Yes, but it seems to actually have a little bit extra to it.
Being Amazon, it's a bit more polished than that.
Yeah, I think. Well, the Apple TV is polished, but in terms of the Ouya, yeah. So basically, you can have it as a set-top box, which is $99, but for an extra $40, you get a controller, which I've never touched it yet, but it doesn't look like it's going to be that comfortable because it's also got kind of like play
it's
and
picture for
pause and things like that. So yeah, so play and pause and fast forward and everything like that.
It's just the exact layout of the Xbox.
It's pretty much the exact layout. So basically, it's going to come out with a TV specific version of Minecraft Pocket Edition, Asphalt 8, The Walking Dead from Telltale Games. They're also enlisted other studios such as Disney Game Loft, EA, Sega, Ubisoft, and Double Fine to kind of put a few more games into it as well. So it sounds quite interesting. They've also launched a game called Sev-Zero, which was a game built entirely for the Fire TV. And apparently it's being described by Amazon as, and I quote, a fast action third person shooter experience with tower defense gameplay. Which is available for $6.99. You also get some second screen functionality as well, which hasn't actually made its way into the games yet. It's still being used for the TV version, so you can get
scrolling back very quickly there. Yep. That game description seems counterintuitive.
In what sense?
Well,
third person tower defense.
Action packed, fast paced.
Tower defense. Yeah, but tower defense don't all have to be like top-down map of the world, dropping guns. Okay. I mean, it could be done in a different way.
Well, one of my bargain basement games was, I forgot the name, it was a first-person shooter tower defense game.
Hmm.
It was crap.
Yeah, but I don't think you should kind of tar them all with the same brush.
No, I'm saying that was crap. I'm just saying I've played
something
that is tower defense where it wasn't top-down.
Yeah, true.
So it's not like it hasn't been done before, but this could be done well. Who knows?
Yeah.
But then again, I have pretty much no interest in it
Well, I'm interested in it because I was interested in somebody doing the Ouya well, basically.
Yeah, but I think for someone like me who's got the PC, got the Xbox One, got the PS4 and a 360, and everything hooked up through my sound system and my big TV,
yeah.
I can't see this offering anything I don't already have, that I don't already have that does better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm quite interested in it to the point that I'm actually considering seeing how I can ship one of these across from the States, because I think it could be quite an interesting concept. We'll see how it pans out.
You didn't think it'd be too long until it's out in the UK. They've not announced anything yet.
Well, both Kindle and Kindle Fire took quite a long time. Yeah, I think it was about a year before it actually came out in the UK. Yeah, so it could be that long. We'll wait and see. Interestingly, though, they have hired Kim Swift, who was the co-creator of Portal, and Clint Hocking, who was the lead designer on Far Cry, to the Amazon Game Studios, which could be see some interesting things float out of there. Interestingly, Kim Swift. So.
It's just floated out of there.
Are you imagining a turd, aren't you?
Yeah. I think I played too much South Park.
Interestingly, Swift was also involved in a game for the Ouya back in January called Solfjord. I'm assuming that's fjord, as in a...
Fjord?
As in a Swedish or Scandinavian fjord, F-J-O-R-D, fjord. Solfjord. I'd never heard of that game.
Solfjord?
I'd never heard of that game. Either of you heard of that now? Looked into it? You've got the current gamer show Ouya. Have you...
It's still in its box, I believe.
I believe he scratched his dog with it once. Yeah. That's as much as it got used for.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, cool. Okay, that was money well spent there.
I've been moving house and stuff.
Jeez, you have had that since before you left your previous house.
It's been true.
8 months he's been moving house. It's been a while. He's moving one pencil at a time.
I've been moving house for about 8 months. I was camping down at Amy's parents, and now I've been camping in my house for like a month or two.
Apparently there was an outage.
Sugar. I forgot to feed Ed.
Apparently there was an outage.
There's some wood lice in your shed, he's alright.
Right, well.
Sam wouldn't have been, because you've not really been playing your Xbox since you've been too busy printing and whatnot.
Yeah.
Chiz, were you affected by this outage? I didn't notice it at all.
Yep.
Oh, did you?
One of the rare evenings I managed to get your brother and Scott online to play a bit of Titanfall a couple weeks ago. I think it was last week, in fact. Xbox Live was down, and it obviously affected Titanfall and whatnot, so it was rather annoying.
Yeah.
And then the other night, I think it's actually been down three times within the past 2 weeks, which I've never seen for Xbox Live before, so I'm wondering if they're suffering some sort of attack or whatnot. Mm. But it seems a bit weird. But when it was down the first time a couple weeks ago, it seemed to be down most of the day. Mm-hmm. And when I went on in the evening, it was still down. And then the other time it was down, I wasn't on, so it didn't affect me at all.
Yeah, well.
And just the other day, it was down for maybe an hour when I was trying to get on it then, but it quickly got back on, so it was all right. They managed to quickly solve the problem, I think, because it wasn't long till I was back on playing.
Well, they're apparently currently informing affected users via Xbox Live's messaging service, and you're going to get compensationary credit, and it will be issued soon.
Is that just issued to everyone that was online at that time, does it say? How do they know?
The release that I've seen says that it's just informing affected users. So, yeah, I'm assuming it's kind of everybody. I don't know.
I should expect a week's code appearing.
Yeah. Apparently, a 5-year-old managed to crack Microsoft security. So this 5-year-old was playing Xbox, I don't know if it was Xbox One or Xbox 360, and he was asked for his password. His dad's card, yeah. Put in incorrectly the first time, it failed, so he just put in a series of spaces and it accepted it.
Because I think what I read was, it failed the first, obviously, for the password, but then it takes you to like the next security question, obviously, to see. Thinking that if you've forgotten your password, then put your whatever, and you just put in
mother's maiden name or whatever usually,
but you just put space whatever, and that let him in.
Yeah. So his dad, being a security guy, his dad was in kind of IT security as a career, informed Microsoft of this, and they've now patched it. So well done, 5-year-old.
They've sent him a year's free subscription and a whole pile of games as well to thank him.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
So there you go, everyone out there, go and see if you can break the security measures next week and get yourself some free games.
It was Microsoft's Build conference this week in San Francisco, and a few things have come out of that. But one interesting thing is how Satya Nadella, who's the new CEO of Microsoft, so he basically was in charge of Azure is a different thing altogether, Azure and cloud computing before he moved. He's going to put somebody into his place, and it's quite interesting some of the things that's coming out. So they did a demo of kind of a high-end PC not using Azure, and in another window they had a demo running at a fluid 32 frames per second running on Azure, and there was quite a bit of a difference.
They were blown up a building, weren't they?
Or it was something like that.
And I, the one which wasn't using the cloud servers, you see the frame rate totally dropping, mm-hmm. and they were starting to blow stuff up and all the particles and whatnot. Yeah. And the one that was running using the cloud was running smooth and whatnot. Sorry, I've just explained what you were going to do.
No. It's okay. I'm quite happy if you talk and I don't, as is the listeners. So that's interesting that they're going to start to do stuff like that.
But if it's... Because we've heard them been banging on about the cloud, and it's a lot of the Sony fanboys keep saying, obviously, about the Xbox One, we've got the power of the cloud. And then it's like, well, what does the power of the cloud do? And the Xbox fanboys go, we don't know yet. And it's no one actually. So it's actually good to see what it can actually hopefully do, but when it happens is a different matter. And your PC just went to screensaver.
Yeah, sorry. hold on. I'm going to have to put my password in so that we can actually carry on the show. Right, all good. Keep going.
Monkey.
a new Doom is coming out on the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. Beta access is available only if you purchase the new Wolfenstein. That's according to Bethesda. Are you interested in a new Doom game?
I'm interested. No. It sounds like it's good that they're not... They're concentrating just on the new generation of consoles and mm-hmm. PC and high-end PC, so at least that way it should be extremely pretty.
Yeah. I want the old-style game.
The Doom 3 game was...
Still available, Paul.
Not on Xbox One, though. I want Xbox One power behind the graphics of the original Doom.
Well, you could have... it running on the PC and just run it through the Xbox controller.
Moving on.
Thwarted.
You can't use the Xbox One controller on a PC.
Sam, use common sense on your ass there.
But you can't use the Xbox One controller on a PC yet, so I've been set up.
You will be able to.
So I can't do it. So that's my point. I can't do it just now.
I bet you can, actually.
There's someone has released a third-party mod you can get the Xbox One controller.
But you have to use a wireless.
I don't know.
Why don't you just be quiet?
Okay.
Doom 3 wasn't like... At its time was exceptionally pretty. Like, it was when it first came out, everyone was blown away by how good it looked, but the gameplay-wise, I thought it was a bit crap. So, yeah, I'm interested in what it looks like, but I'm not a massive fan of Doom anymore. I wasn't a huge fan of it originally, anyway. And Wolfenstein, much the same. It's like, it's good for nostalgia's sake, see what they can do with it. If it adds something new and interesting, great. If not... I don't know.
I was more keen on Wolfenstein than I was on Doom because it was just ridiculous and silly and...
Daddy FPS is...
Quite amusing.
It was Wolfenstein as well. Aye, with a... Was it Mega Cyborg Hitler at the end?
Yeah, on the moon.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it?
Anyway, Zeitgeist.
Kyle. You're allowed to talk.
Okay, thank you. Right. So there's a...
He's been holding his breath the whole time.
Just kept
it's the power
going.
That I have.
Batman Arkham Knight. I don't think there's anything new here, is there? There's a little bit more in-game footage has kind of been released and things like that.
Well, it's been properly announced, but it wasn't actually official until they made it official. it's like it was pretty much hinted at, especially when... what's his name? Kevin Conroy, who voices Batman, when he announced, I think it was last year, he said that he's been working on a new Batman game, and he got his wires crossed thinking it was the Origins game,
right?
But he wasn't doing it at all, and he went, oh, he kind of let the cat out the bag that he was working on a new Rocksteady one, when he went, and he kind of went, nothing bang. So yeah, this is the new one from Rocksteady, which is set after Arkham City, and what's also good is the new generation consoles and PC only as well. So yeah. I've been told it looks
includes Batmobile.
The Batmobile. Yeah, and I've been what we've not actually seen any proper footage of it yet, but the journalists who have come back saying it's exceptionally pretty.
Mm, yeah.
And drive around the Batmobile looks awesome.
Yeah.
And you can crash into environments and take the corners out of buildings and smash stuff. You know, as Batman, you know, a bit of the vigilante prick that he is does.
Yeah, but the whole city's cleared now, though. So, yeah. You know, there's no concern. He can destroy as much as he likes now. Yeah. He's just there for a kind of kick-ass.
Scarecrow's threatening the city with gas. So it's
Two-Face's in this one as well, isn't
it? Yeah, the announced villains are Scarecrow, Two-Face, Penguin,
Harley Quinn's in this
Harley
one
Quinn.
Still, yeah. Because, of course, the Joker... Oh, I know. Are we past the year?
Yeah, we're, probably,
we're past the year.
Yeah.
We've decided on a rule that we're allowed to give away spoilers if the game's over a year old. So,
yeah. Stop listening for the next 5 minutes or
if
next 2 minutes
finished,
if you've not Arkham City.
Arkham City. So, yeah, so I've not... Actually, so I'm about to spoil it myself.
How do you know, then?
Because you... Where did I hear that? I read an article. No, it wasn't Chiz.
He did a spoiler.
Chiz did a spoiler. So this is a spoiler for Arkham City. So Joker dies. So Joker's not in this one. Certainly no word of the Joker being in this one anyway.
Well, there's a villain that they've created for his franchise that they've worked with DC called the Arkham Knight. So it's the Arkham Knight's not actually Batman. It's about a new villain called that.
Right.
Who seems to be like, who looks a lot like Batman in a way without the cape, though. And which is on that screenshot you got, that's him there on top of Batman.
Yep.
And which obviously the podcast can't see. But his identity is, I don't know, like, there's a few from, I really hope it's not Joker under that, because I think it'll be a massive cop out and a massive pile of crap if it is.
Yeah.
I hope it is either, I hope they surprise me, but I have suspicions it could be Hush or Red Hood, which was Jason Todd, if you're not a DC or comic Batman fan, you probably don't know who the characters are. But
I don't actually know who either of those.
No,
are.
Neither do I.
I'm not in any film.
I've got no idea.
I'm not going to go into it.
He's a vigilante, but he's more criminally and a bit more brutal than Batman, is the gist I got.
Yeah, the reason why I think it's Hush, because Hush, basically, in Arkham City anyway, is that he surgically changes his face to look like Bruce Wayne, and then he escapes at the end. So I'm wondering if, not only does he look like Bruce Wayne, he's also got his own bastardized version of Batman that he becomes.
Yeah.
Because Thomas Elliot is the name of the guy who is Hush, who's actually a childhood friend of Bruce Wayne. And he, in the comics anyway, knew he was Batman as well.
Mm.
So it kind of makes sense that way. But then again, I do also feel it's maybe too obvious.
Mm. Okay.
But I'll let it surprise me.
This is going to be the final Rocksteady version of Batman as well. Although Warner... what studio is it? Montreal? Warner in Montreal own the rights to this. It's probably not going to be the last one that they produce, but it's certainly going to be the last one Rocksteady is going to be dealing
and,
with.
And at this point, this has jumped, since it's been fresh around, what I've seen of it, this has jumped to be my most anticipated game of this year. Because it's out October. I think it's been set in stone, but October is a rumour anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be out before Christmas and stuff like
you'd
that.
You think.
To, yeah.
But then again, it might get delayed.
I might actually try and finish Arkham City before then. So that might be interesting.
So I
still have to finish Grand Theft Auto as well. I still haven't finished Grand Theft Auto 5 yet.
I can't believe you didn't. Yeah, because you played through Grand Theft Auto 4 twice within the first couple of weeks or
something. Yeah, I loved Grand Theft Auto 4. There's something that's kind of drifting off here a little bit. There's something about Grand Theft Auto 5. I'm loving it, but it's not held my attention in the same way that Grand Theft Auto 4 did for me. It's still really, really good, and I'm not downing it at all. But
one thing they've announced, which you could put in the news, but I'll just mention quickly, is the heists are getting added in spring.
Ah, cool.
So by the end of spring, we'll have the heists for online, so I'll eventually jump back into that, which is like about bloody time.
Yeah. Speaking of Grand Theft Auto 4, GameSpy's servers are being shut down, which is a bit of a shame. Now, we knew about this already, didn't we? They've actually come out with a date. It's the 31st of May that they're actually going to be shutting down. Now, a few studios are affected by this, including EA, Ubisoft, Gearbox, Nintendo, Konami, Capcom, Fifth Cell, Koei, never heard of them, Firaxis, and some more. Now, Nintendo have basically come out and said, well, tough, they're all gone, you're not getting to play these anymore. Are you on purpose breathing in the microphone really heavily?
No. I'm just kind of leaning on
it. He's resting his nose on the microphone.
Rockstar have come out and said that they're actually working with GameSpy to move their games off. So games like Grand Theft Auto 4, Red Dead Redemption, they shouldn't be affected by this, and they should just seamlessly move over on new servers. Yeah,
it's good
to
say some games, but it does sound like some games will be killed.
Well, yeah, I mean, Nintendo have said that all games... I'll try and find the quote here. Nintendo explained that it would abandon hundreds of Nintendo Wi-Fi games. But frankly, who plays Nintendo multiplayer online games?
What Nintendo multiplayer games is there?
Mario Kart?
Was Mario Kart Wii even... Did it even do online multiplayer?
Oh, I don't know if it did or not.
Does Mario Kart 8 even do that? I don't know.
From memory, I think Rome, the original Rome...
Use GameSpy.
I think it did.
Yeah.
And there are still people who play that online.
Apparently, Activision said that they won't be affected either.
It's quite sad, because I think at some point, like, most people who have done PC gaming have probably used GameSpy servers to play games on.
Yeah, it is. It's a shame, but
and they didn't work very well.
No.
Onwards and upwards. Oh, and Kel Surprise, another Assassin's Creed game, is in the works. This one's going to be based in Paris.
Yeah.
A yet unnamed protagonist. You're going to basically run about Paris. Is it Pierre? Is it actually called?
I don't know. I've just made it up.
Okay, Pierre. we'll run with that. Pierre will be in the
Pierre
new
gets stabby in Paris.
Two.
I'm sure there's an adult film called that. So you're going to be able to do some new things like parkour and how do you pronounce that parkour?
Parkour. I think I don't know. Wrong.
It's one of these words you always see written down, but you very rarely
look
see actually
deep
pronounced.
Into the park.
I'm turning your microphone down.
Yeah.
So. Don't.
And one of the new features is looking nonchalant while chewing on a croissant.
And smoking a cigarette.
So blend into the environment.
Looking depressed, smoking a cigarette outside a cafe. And
miming people to death. <I'm>
Oh, the fridge.
Well, tutting at foreigners.
So that'll be interesting.
I heard actually it's quite slow paced because most of the time he's on strike.
Ah, dear. Okay, fair enough.
It was a video they showed off for it. Smacks of this usual. It's Ubisoft stuff where the first video looks graphically fantastic, and then the game comes out and you go, doesn't look as good as the original video.
Yeah. And I don't know, Chiz, you're the only one of us still playing Battlefield 4 because the rest of us
well,
are not here.
Not recently, not until they actually
properly fix it.
It's patch after patch, but every patch I've tried still hasn't fixed my issue.
Their patches have brought us Megalodon Shark.
Yeah.
Which
there's a video playing in the background.
Yeah. It's okay, you can hear that in the audio. Well,
what's going on with the kangaroo?
There was a video of a kangaroo automatically played.
For some reason
page.
You're using International Business Times for this gaming video.
Can I hear something else playing now?
Yeah,
I think it started playing again. Hold on, pause. Fine. So in Battlefield 4, Megalodon Easter Egg has been found when you in the new DLC for Naval Strike. So this is just a absolutely ridiculously huge shark that appears either under the water. I've seen different screenshots that show it under the water and you just see if you're looking down. Sometimes it's jumping out the water, but there you go. It's an Easter egg.
Seems to be triggered if you get like 10 players next to a buoy or something like that, and it seems to set it off.
Is there a giant octopus that comes to attack it?
Well, who knows? Because
yeah, it could be the next one.
Since the game released, it's DICE said there is some fancy Easter eggs in it, which but so recently they found that one, so who's to say there's not a different part of the map of that as well.
Facebook, this was a couple of weeks ago, so you've probably heard about this already, but as Chiz quite rightly pointed out earlier on, if you're looking for up-to-date gaming news, you shouldn't be listening to this show. Facebook bought Oculus Rift 2 weeks ago for $2 billion, or two Instagrams, or a quarter of a Snapchat, depending on how you look at it.
All right.
Snapchat. No, actually, Snapchat was a lot more than that, like an eighth of a Snapchat.
Have they bought it with shares again, which might be worth nothing in a few years' time?
I would imagine it's probably... I don't actually know. I would imagine it'll be some kind of share and cash mix. Yeah. I don't imagine
I'm,
it's
I'm sure
read somewhere cash
it was
or something.
Like 50p and the rest was shares or something.
So they bought Oculus Rift. Unfortunately, the Minecraft version of Oculus Rift that was in development pretty much instantly went, we're out, and ran away.
Because what's his name... What's the guy's called?
I don't know, it's some kind of Scandinavian name, I'm not sure.
I forgot his name.
Slowly trying to alienate the whole of Europe in this episode.
we're working our way around.
Dutch, maybe, I can't remember.
I can't remember myself. He kind of came out and says that Facebook creeps him out, so he's not making Minecraft for the Rift anymore.
So a few different companies have cut, a few different websites have come out and actually said what they might do, and the general consensus, though I highly disagree with this, the general consensus in the articles that I've read seem to be suggesting that Facebook's going to turn it into sort of a Second Life type thing where you're going to be able to you're going to be able to walk through and meet your friends and interact in a sort of Second Life fashion, but I don't think that's what's happening at all.
My first reaction was oh god. But when you've got folk like John Carmack, mm-hmm. who's still working for him, who's Keith's comment says it can all be good for it because it's got more money behind it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I just hope that the gaming, it doesn't lose focus as a gaming device.
Yeah.
If it loses focus at, and like, fair enough, use it for other things, but as long as it's foremost and gets a lot of gaming things for it, yeah, brilliant. But if it starts to go the other way and less game stuff happens for it, then count me out. And I think, because the only thing you can really use it for anyway is for gaming anyway.
Well, yeah, I would think
like
so.
Social features, who's going to strap that onto Dwight to check their emails and go on Facebook or use them? Oh, I'm going to put this on so I can see pictures in front of my eyes instead of pushing my phone to my face.
Yeah, I think this is more likely. This is just another Facebook just trying to kind of expand a little bit further away from just being Facebook. It's kind of becoming like a big platform and things like that. Mm. So I think that's all good to do with that. And I agree. I think it's a good thing that Facebook's got quite a bit of money behind it due to the fact of its current, in my opinion, inflated stock price. So it's got quite a bit of cash there. It can only do some good things.
Hopefully, anyway. But it's like,
I mean, I'm looking forward to being able to actually farm my Farmville farm. Is Farmville still a thing?
I don't know.
Never heard of it for ages. But that would be cool.
I don't think I've ever played a single Facebook game because they're all pish.
Yeah, I think I did play Farmville purely out of curiosity and got bored of it very quickly.
I think we broke his soul. I think we broke him.
Yeah.
Who?
You.
Why?
With all the simulators we made. You're now looking forward to getting in there on your tractor and mowing your Farmville farm.
Related to the Oculus Rift, Sony announced Project Morpheus, which is a similar kind of thing to Oculus Rift. It's a virtual reality headset for PlayStation 4. So this looks quite interesting, mainly because it's almost exactly the same as the Oculus Rift. It's maybe got some changes in the display methodology and things like that, mm-hmm. and the panel size and whatnot. But in the main, it's a virtual reality helmet, which is pretty awesome.
One advantage it's got on is Project Morpheus is if you've got the camera for the PlayStation, which is like £40 or something, mm-hmm. like that, it's Project Morpheus. It's got the blue lights like you get with the Move, mm-hmm. but it's got one on the back as well. So unlike the Rift, where it can't detect you when you turn your head away from the camera,
right?
Or if I turn with this microphone, you obviously can't hear me as much either.
it's actually a good way of illustrating your point.
Yeah. when you turn your head down, because it's got lights in the back, it can detect when your head's turned away as well. Right, so you've got a full 360 sort of motion with it, which I think you kind of get with the Rift as well. But the early reports is it's maybe not quite at the same state where Rift is, but this isn't the finished article. And for it to be shown off, they're saying it's and a pretty good, where it is, like, if they've been, basically, I think they both sound fantastic. Like, this is probably, as we go, until we get to, like, the holodeck from Star Trek, as close as we're going to get to, like, proper sort of VR. And if this is done well and works well and it's affordable, then great.
Yeah.
Ed built me one of those in the shed.
Is he? Is he working on it just now?
No, it's done.
Oh, is he finished?
Yeah.
What did he make it out of?
Plywood.
Plywood. I would imagine for the bit around the back, because it needs to expand, it'd be balsa wood.
No,
a holodeck
software.
Oh, a holodeck. He made you a holodeck out of plywood.
And jam jars.
And jam. Nice.
Ed
nice.
Just told me he blindfolded you and then put his balls in your hand.
I thought that was what it was.
This podcast and all the others of the British
the
Tech Network.
From Mario.
This podcast and all the others of the British Tech Network are brought to you by UK2. They're awesome and you should support them. If you head on over to the British Tech Network and click on the sponsors link, and then you can click on the click through on there to go to UK2. You can use all the voucher codes and things like that on the sponsors page as well. They can do all sorts of awesome things. Domain names, VPN, VPSs, and all sorts of great stuff. They're absolutely superb. I use them and I love them. So that's UK2. They support British Tech and we hope that you support them too. Thank you very much. Okay. So, Chiz, what have you been playing this? Oh, no, sorry. Preview. What are you looking forward to coming out in the near future?
Mario Kart 8. There's been previews of that game coming out. Folk have been getting proper hands on and colour me excited. It looks good. It's not been reviewed yet. But
The previews they have been basically saying it's more of the same, but that's a good thing. With nicer graphics.
Well, yeah, it's like, what more can you do?
I agree. I'm not complaining.
But they've got the anti-gravity things. The tracks go upside down now and whatnot. So it's like, depending what when you're going to track, you have points where, say, you can see racers below you or above you on the track or on the walls and whatnot.
Okay.
So like, so they've taken like the glide abilities from, it was Mario Kart 7, I think, mm-hmm. added that. and got the bikes from Wii, which apparently are better balanced and work better. Uh-huh. So I'm just kind of taking those elements and, yeah, but it is the first HD Mario Kart as well, because Mario Kart Wii obviously wasn't HD. Mm-hmm. And it's 1080p and runs at 60 frames per second, which is nice.
Quite cool. Presumably the steering wheels from... excuse me, I just burped. Presumably the steering wheels from Mario Kart Wii will work for this as well.
I think...
Because I very recently bought three of them.
Yeah. You're a bit late to the party. I suspect. Why? So, because the Wii remotes do work.
I saw
work
them on eBay,
it.
they were cheap. Oh. Sorry.
I've not heard exactly, but I assume they'll do, because the Wii remotes work with the Wii U, so yeah. I assume they would still work with Mario Kart, so you can use the Pro Controller, the gamepad, and the Wii remotes with it. But yeah, and that's it. So I'll probably be picking up a Wii U next month and getting that, and Zombie U, and probably pick up Mario 3D World as well.
Cool. Very cool. Sam?
Spoken about it before, but saw a new trailer for the Mad Max game, and I think it looks really exciting, actually.
Link it on the Gamer Show page. I'd like to see it at some point.
Okay. It's
as opposed to using Google.
Well, no, just getting the people there, because I've not seen it, and he can do
it. Other people
for me.
Will see it. Yeah, okay. That's good. And other people will see it. That's the main reason you were thinking.
It's now never going to happen.
I don't care about it.
Yeah, it's open world. You're Mad Max. You start off. You're mildly miffed because people have nicked off with your car.
Have you got a dog in the game?
The dog is in it. The dog is in it.
Is he in it constantly? Or is
I don't
just
know if he's in it from the start. So he might be in the car. Yeah. It got stolen.
So take it like a... AI companion, you can maybe give commands to and whatnot.
Possibly. There's no word on that as yet.
Hopefully.
Because we're not in early stages, are we? It's supposed to be out this year.
Well, there's a lot of this year left. I suppose not in game development time, but yeah.
I really want to play it.
Are you a fan of the films?
Yeah, I like the films.
I don't think I've seen them.
Except for Thunderdome.
I've maybe seen how many Mad Max films do they do?
It's three, is it?
Is it three of them?
Mad Max 2 and Thunderdome.
There's Mad Max.
I think I've seen them all, but I wouldn't really
remember
the first
one. Where he's a policeman. And it's not really connected to the other two. Huh. But the very first one is...
Is he a policeman? Or is he just not wearing... Or has he got like a badge on it, but he's not a real policeman?
You go back
and
watch
that jacket.
It's like a policeman, I'm sure he is. And then the other two...
Assume he's a policeman.
The other two are more like in the totally kind of post-apocalyptic world.
Who was the singer that was like one of the enemies in one of them?
Tina Turner.
Tina Turner, that was it.
I was going to say Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Tina Turner.
She was like the leader of the Thunderdome.
Yeah, because she does the song Thunderdome. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Danger Zone, that's from Top Gun.
No, actually, it's not.
Danger Zone's from Top Gun.
No, not the way I just did it.
Did you do it slightly differently? Yeah.
Danger Zone!
That's the Top Gun version.
No, it's not.
We were rifting Archer.
Oh, right, okay.
But Sam does it much better than me.
I saw another video for Shadow of Mordor, which is the Lord of the Rings game that's coming out. They've also announced a release date, which is October the 7th, I think it was.
I wasn't sure what the date was, because it said like 7/10. I thought is that doing the British
the 10th
or the
of July.
American? But all the British websites have said it is the 7th of October.
Yeah.
So it just depends if the trailer was supposed to be Americanized or European. It's hard to tell.
Yeah. No, it's October. It looks cool. The trailer, so it's not really a trailer. It's not in-game footage. It's just
some
kind
of
explaining the story.
In a cinematic fashion.
Yeah.
But.
So it's kind of explaining the story. So the story's come out that basically Sauron and his horde killed your wife and it looks like your father as well.
Your son. And
there's your son as well, yeah. But I think it's your father, your brother or something.
Possibly,
another dude.
He's
about
your
age.
Family.
Yeah, yeah. And
so
this is
you've moved on, you've moved to a different country, and you're starting a new life.
Yeah.
No, you're going to hunt.
Oh, really?
Down and there is
that
a point.
Is not the way I thought it would
so
go.
There's a point
he's
where
got a chip in his shoulder about it.
In the trailer, there's a point where he's holding... I've had a complete blank. Strider. What's Strider's in Lord of the Rings?
A broken sword, you mean?
Yeah, he's holding the broken sword, which is clearly snapped in the same way that...
I don't know if it's the same sword. It might just be a broken his broken
it, it
sword.
It just maybe looks like it. It looks like it's broken in the same
you
way.
You know, in the developer commentary of the gameplay show, that's actually your son's sword. And that's what your second weapon. You use that as a dagger.
Right.
But apparently it's your son's sword that gets broken. That.
It just it looks like the sword that...
Yeah, yeah.
That,
it's, I think it's supposed to be
how
a
how old was his
that.
Son?
He looked like he was in his teens anyway.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it looks quite cool coming out in October.
That's bad parenting.
Yeah, it looks nice because obviously, like I say, you seem to be undead in a fashion. You're kind of half undead human with like a ring wraith trapped in you or something like that.
Yeah.
Which speaks to you.
Wasn't that the thing that we were saying that looks just like
Batman?
It's got kind of like Assassin's Creed. Batman-y type thing. But it looks good. I think it could be good.
It doesn't bother me as long as the game's got good gameplay and it's enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Cool. Chess, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing quite a lot of games, but I shall do Titanfall this week.
Mm-hmm.
Been playing a lot of that. I got it for PC. I was one of these silly people who got it for PC and Xbox One.
What? Why on earth did you do that?
Because I wanted to play it with Bede on the PC, and I wanted to play it with your brother and Scott and whoever else bought on the Xbox
One. Could you not just... No, I wouldn't have been.
Because there's...
Bede doesn't have an Xbox One. So
no,
I don't
know, right? No. Do you know what? I've not regretted getting it for either. I've put more hours into the PC version of Bede. I think I'm over 10 hours on that and just over point, not far off that.
You put up with Bede for 10 hours?
Yeah. It was hard, but, you know, he has his uses. He distracts enemies and I shoot him in the back.
Ah, right. And, okay.
But no, it's just absolute brilliant fun. It's there's a lot of folk complaining how he's not a single player component, which I get the argument, but I've enjoyed the it's multiplayer part of it that much that it doesn't bother me. But I do get why some people go, oh, there's no single player component. It's just... And the story campaign...
Talking about me?
Yeah. Which... I totally get that. I know exactly where you're coming
from. It looks really fun. Bede was down at my house.
Well, he lives with you, doesn't he?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He was down at my house a couple of weeks ago, and we actually had both PCs set up in the living room, and we were playing through some Rome... multiplayer, and then he was showing me some other bits, well, Titanfall and a few other games that he's got, and I was showing him a couple of games that I've got on mine, and it looks really fun. It'd take me more than 5 minutes to get into it, because I had 5 minutes, I was just totally bewildered. And
you will die a lot. At first until there's a training mode at the start which would have helped you for jumping straight in. But the story campaign, I think you kind of have to, like, there's basically the campaign is nine maps.
Mm-hmm.
But these maps just play, like, there's hard point, which is just like you capture an area and hold it and whatnot and to build up the points and you win. And then you've got a deathmatch mode where basically you have to get so many kills against the other team until you win that as well. And that's basically whatever you're doing the campaign in the different maps. And while this is going on, like a story on top, like in your communication box, right? Like basically, these AI characters are having like conversations and whatnot of what's actually going on plot wise, and it kind of affects kind of what's happening in the background. Maybe stuff gets blown up, and they see the top guy going, "Ah, I'm already burning and dying," while you're going, don't care, shooting people. And you can't pay much attention. But like, I've probably played through the campaign three or four times because you have to play it through with you randomly either start as the IMC or the militia. Then once you complete that campaign with them, and so basically play nine. It's nine matches basically on nine maps.
Okay.
And then when you do it again, you play as the opposite side of what you did the last time. And you kind of have to do that to unlock your Ogre and your Strider Titans. Because you always start off with Atlas at first, and there's three in total. So you have to play the campaign twice to unlock all your Titans. So you can choose them and mix and match parts and whatnot.
Okay.
But yeah, I've probably played it three or four times and I still don't know what the hell's going on in the story, because you don't have time to pay attention to that, because if you do, someone just comes up and shoots you in the head, because you're just kind of competing in the game, shooting enemies and trying to work together. And it's an interesting idea, but it's not been pulled off. And you get like a short sort of, not quite a cutscene. It's a cutscene where you're there and then you kind of get unleashed on the map. Like there's... Basically, like on one of the maps, you're in like a war room, and there's like, and the AI guy's telling you, right, you have to do this and do that, and blah blah. He's got a map in front of him, and when you and five other of the folk are on your side are all kind of standing around, or as I'm doing, squatting in the middle of the map, and then he opens the door and that's you start the match,
right?
And but no one's paying any attention of what's going on, because when there's 12 of you in multiplayer, everyone's just dicking about and no one's paying attention, and you just trying to have fun and have a laugh and play the game and win. But So yeah, the store thing hasn't worked, but for an actual multiplayer game, absolute brilliant fun.
Okay.
And I get where some people come from when they say it's, say, like, I get the argument of focusing, oh, it's just Call of Duty Mix. Yeah, it takes, like, the run and gun aspect of it, it does feel a lot like Call of Duty, but the fact that you can run up walls and then with your jetpack, you can basically jump through windows, run along walls, up the sides of buildings and things like that. It changes the scope of the maps and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then when you get your Titans, it changes it again, because then in a massive robot and they can stomp on people and whatnot and blow them. And games have maybe done these parts before, but no game has done it all at the same time and done each part so well. Like, right. The controls and everything just works perfectly. Like, I thought it did anyway. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Cool. Cool. Sam, what have you been spending your time doing?
Lots. Same as Chase, because
we've had 4 weeks.
Before I talk about that, though, Chase and I the other day were talking about because I just downloaded Thief, which is 20 gigabytes.
Right.
And it
took you like 2.5 minutes.
3 hours.
Still.
I know, it's quite... It's all right.
Better what you were before.
And I was like, bloody hell, yeah, 20 gigabyte. And Chase said, oh, Titanfall was 50.
Wow, 50 gigabytes.
50 gigabyte, and apparently a lot of that is the audio file. Like, apparently they have to do something to the audio file so it works on low-spec PCs. So a lot of those gigs getting taken up on my hard drive, my PC won't be using. It's like a needless space. And it's like, ugh. And unfortunately, where games are going to go, the point will get bigger with the high fidelity graphics and the textures that need in. I think games will get bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
So there you go. Mm. I was playing Thief.
You're enjoying it?
Really enjoy.
Cool.
It's not Thief as it always has been. Mm-hmm. And it's not up to the same standard, but it is a good sneaky, lockpicky game, which I enjoy anyway. Mm-hmm. I enjoy, like, taking my time planning to knock someone out without anyone else seeing and putting out the lights, and I really enjoy that kind of game. And for that, it's really, really good.
And the main character's voice bother as much as you thought?
No, it's all right.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I can't really remember what the original guy was like, but his voice in the new one doesn't.
I preferred his original.
The story at the same time is kind of like, I'm not entirely sure what's going on, but at the same time, I don't really care. Which is maybe a bad sign that they've not done the story very well.
I think I'm getting my head around the story, and I think it's almost like this thief, whilst being the same Garrett and everything, is set in the future of. Because the last set of games were more kind of Middle Ages.
It's like he's celebrated as a master thief around the city as well. Yeah. He's kind of renowned, which makes me think, everyone knows who you are. You're not exactly a great thief.
What, Garrett, that lives in the clock tower? Yeah, yeah, he's amazing.
Exactly.
And no one ever comes around there.
And it does have the story sort of game mechanic of he blacks out every now and then.
Yeah. Which is rubbish.
Yeah, which is still to explain. And yet, every time he wakes up, he's not fussed at what's happening. He's like, if I black out once, I'm going to know why. He blacks it 3 or 4 times. Like, oh, Jesus. Oh.
Maybe
I must have been a really bad poo I had. I'll not be eating that again. it's like ridiculous.
Did you miss the cutscene where the doctor diagnosed him with... a tumour.
Blackout disorder.
Maybe. I think I possibly blacked out that one. one thing I know as well, which was just more funny than anything, where it's got a lot of glitches. The sound, through my surround sound system, it doesn't seem to do a very good job. There's times where I hear a guard literally right next to me, and he turns out he's like 2 rooms away. And it's just like...
It's not very good.
It
does directional well. I play through my headphones, and it does... do direction quite well, but
is it depth, how far
it
away?
Forgets about the walls.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if there's 2 sets of walls, if the guy's within X meters of you, and you can hear him.
Yeah, and it does make you think he's like he's in the room right next to you. But there's other moments in the cutscenes, which I always like when a game uses in-game sort of cutscenes, which I like, but it's like the developers have forgotten to mute and stop all the NPCs in the room from talking and milling about.
Yeah, they're still blabbering away.
I was in a pub, I don't know if I've even mentioned the pub, but I might mention this in the last one.
The bit in the brothel.
Not in the brothel, I think I was in a pub and I was talking to someone. And it was just a guy just talking really loudly in the background. And I couldn't hear what my character was having, going, yes, we have to do this. And then Sarah goes, yeah, I shagged the best prostitute in the city. and that's all I could hear is his conversation to a guy who wasn't interested in hearing about it. It was just like, brilliant. I have no idea what's going on there.
Oh, I've been playing Stick of Truth. So I got Stick of Truth based on you guys talking about it in the last show, and I'm really enjoying it. Apparently, I'm almost done it, so I'm not going to talk about what I've done or anything like that, because you reckon I've only got about half an hour left or something, yeah. Based on where I am.
It's going to be hard to talk about this game without ruining. Like, so we don't want to ruin the gags.
No, I don't want to ruin the gags, but I guess what all I want to say is I'm not a fan of the show is unfair. I don't watch it. If it was on...
You've got a few episodes that you've adored, like the World of Warcraft.
The World of Warcraft one was very good. So that's the kind of level of fan I am. I only watched that because Chiss said, watch this episode because it's awesome. And I really enjoyed that. I'm the kind of guy with South Park that if it happened to be on the telly, I would probably watch it as opposed to finding the remote control and changing the channel. Yeah. But I wouldn't actively seek it out to watch it.
Snap.
Yeah.
Or if you've got cramp and don't wake up.
Or I just can't be bothered to get off the couch, frankly. And so I didn't buy the game originally because I thought, I'm not really that fussed about it. But I'm really, really enjoying it, though. Yeah. It is an absolutely superb game. The fighting mechanics is funny. The gags are hilarious.
I don't remember the last time that we actually had... The three of us were having all in the same message, in the message system, all talking about a game. It's rare. It's usually completed and finished the game, then you two are late to the party or vice versa. Mm-hmm. The fact that all three of us hadn't completed it, I was maybe a bit further on. We're all playing the game at the same time, but all talking about how much we're loving the game, even though we're all playing at the same time. It's mm-hmm. like, that's probably a first for us.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely my favourite game of the year so far. By a long shot, I would say. The only reason I haven't completed it yet is just because I was away. And then, to be honest, I only came back on Tuesday. And I've just a lot of work and stuff like that to catch up on. But I reckon this week I'll probably complete it. And I've only got a couple of side quests still to do as well.
Mm-hmm. How far are you into it, Sam? Have you completed it yet yourself?
I haven't gone back to it since we last spoke about it.
No.
Yeah, well, he's been moving house as well. We've both been kind of busy, which is probably the reason that we didn't have a show 2 weeks ago, is we just had stuff on. But I am really, really enjoying it, though. It's an absolutely superb game. I'm a little disappointed, to be honest, that I'm that close to the end.
Yeah,
I kind of hoped it would last a bit longer. But
I think that there's... I was reading something on it the other day, and it seems like there has been some content that was cut from it, because there's certain... battle scenes that they showed in past trailers, which you don't fight. I won't tell you this, but you don't fight them anymore. And I went, that's not in the game. So I wonder if they were cut because either I don't know, unless it's going to be DLC later on, or whether or not it didn't work for that part of the game. There's a whole story element they were going to do as well, which I think it's what they showed off three or four sections that they had done the artwork for, but it's not uncommon to do artwork and express ideas but not actually put them in the game, because they have tons of ideas and it's not physically able to put them all in, but whether or not they might add that for DLC at a later date. So yeah, but I say on my first playthrough for a game that lasted, it took me just about 20 hours, and I think that's a good length game. Maybe for an RPG sort of element, you probably want it to last longer than that.
Yeah, I think that was what I was expecting.
But I'd rather have a short, brilliant game rather than a crap game that overstays its welcome.
Yeah.
It's not... It wouldn't have worked. You couldn't make it longer as you would with a traditional RPG, though. It wouldn't have worked.
The humour would
way.
Start to drag me.
Yeah, I think so. As you say, you're better having enjoyed a game and it dies than
the fact
abstain its welcome.
It's the fact that you're disappointed when a game ends shows how much you've enjoyed the game. Mm,
yeah. I was just looking for what the current prices are on it, and it's
about £20.
CD keys are £19.94. I did do a Google search, and there are other websites offering it for cheaper, but I've never used them, so I would probably be a bit wary of them. But allkeyshop.com has got €13.89, which will probably be about £12, I think. But I've never used them before, so I'm not saying that you should go and buy it there. But
who's that for, sir?
All CD keys.
I've used them before; they're fine.
Oh, are they? Right. Okay. Cool.
At CD Keys I've used, sorry.
Is All Key Shop, sorry, this one's called.
Oh, right, no, I've not used them.
CD Keys is where I bought it, and they're currently sitting in 1994, according to Hot UK That's Deals.
I've not had a problem with them.
Yeah.
But what have you guys made of the actual game mechanics of it, rather than the humour and whatnot?
I've quite enjoyed it.
I found it pretty passable. I've not been... Like, whenever there's been a battle, I've not felt, oh, another battle. I've actually quite enjoyed battles. Although, they're not as in-depth.
You played it with your control pad.
Yeah.
I played it mouse and keyboard.
I think it's a bit more of a pain in the ass, mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, because you have to time the buttons and whatnot.
Yeah.
To defend or attack.
Yeah, I haven't found that too much of a problem.
I found some of them are a bit laggy. Like, there's certain attacks that I've just never got off.
It's getting the timing just right can be. It takes, I think it is quite easier to get your timing with a controller than it is with
I went as keyboard. The Jew, and as a class, that's one of the classes in it. And Butters has got a spin attack thing where he lobs his hammer.
Paladin, isn't he, Butters?
Yeah, he's a paladin. But he has a spin attack.
I've never been able to pull it off either.
I can do... Butters attack.
All right, okay. I've never managed to pull that one off.
It's spinny, 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 and then when it pings, it's...
Oh, no, it's not that one.
Do you have to beat the buttons to spin them on? Like, I have to twist the stick as if I'm going to spin and then press the button.
We have to tap the buttons. Uh-huh. And then the Jew has a Sling of David, mm-hmm. where you spin it around. It's the same mechanic, but I can't get it to work.
Yeah, sorry, I'm forgetting that's the one that I'm thinking of. I've done the Butters one.
I've found that... when you're doing it, it's normal attacks. You think you get used to one character and then once you've got the timing right for that, you instinctually always press at the right time. And then you try it on a different character who does a similar tap, but the timing's slightly different. You have to kind of train yourself to go, right, I'm pressing and when I usually press for the last guy.
I just got used to Butters. I use
Butters most of the time, or Stan sometimes I used as well.
He's alright, but I'm less keen on him.
Yeah, Butters is definitely my favourite. There is an attack that I've stopped using.
Have you not got Cartman? You have Cartman now.
Yeah, I've not used him.
No, he's quite good.
But actually, I've never used him, so it's not as if I've just Butters is quite good. There's one attack that I just can't understand the instructions, and the instructions are press A and D towards the enemy, and I've got no idea how you press A and D towards an enemy. The keys are static. So I've tried hammering them, I've tried holding them down, I've tried alternately. I really don't know what I'm supposed to do with that one. Anyway, that said, that was a very negative thing there, but I'm loving the game, really loving it. I can't wait to go back to finish it off. So, another sponsor for our show, and we're really glad to have the Network Union on board. The Network Union are an authorised BT business partner licensed to sell global and UK services. Their expertise has been earned from working with large global and UK enterprise, and now also work with SMEs. So basically what you need to know is these guys don't add extra fees or anything like that on top. Your contract and everything like that still with BT, you still pay BT directly. Your billing and things like that goes through BT. There's no real difference in dealing with them direct, except what you get is the overlay on top of that, the expertise and the knowledge and everything like that that Network Union bring. If you're an existing BT client, they'll also be able to help out there, repricing, connectivity midterm, everything from BT Business Broadband, and connectivity and all sorts of great stuff. So if you're a new client or you are somebody coming along that's had BT for years, chat to Network Union, see what they can do. Use the click-through on the website. If you go to britishtownnetwork.com/sponsors and use the click-through for Network Union there, just so that they know that we sent you. They're absolutely superb. They will help you out with your BT services. So if you could go and support Network Union, because they support British Tech. Now, gentlemen, our indie games this week. I didn't remember this, but Sam rightly pointed out that he actually did his the last time, and me and Chiz didn't. So Sam didn't have a game to talk about this time, but me and Chiz did. So yep. Chiz, you had Device 6, I believe.
Yes, and I remember my headset this time.
So you, every time you went for a poo at work, you took your headset along.
Well,
Folk must have thought that was a bit interesting.
Well, I usually take rolls of newspapers and... Scud mags.
Scud mags? Who uses that phrase anymore?
Bringing it back. It's interesting. It's basically it's an interactive story where basically you have to keep altering the screen. Basically, I've said that quite a lot.
Yeah.
You're a person called Anne. A female called Anne who wakes up in a weird house by a lighthouse, and she has no idea why she's there, and you're just kind of... The part I'm at so far, the house is empty, and you're trying to suss what's going on, and there's all sorts of little puzzles and whatnot. And as you're reading down, as it's describing everything, you're hearing in the headset everything that she's seen. So like, if you see a clock, you're a clock, blah, 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 blah. And every now and then, the text will change directions. You have to alternate your phone,
right,
and then scroll that way, and it'll scroll in different ways. So it's a little bit confusing at first, but once you get the hang of it, you're constantly basically turning the phone and scrolling. But it makes sense. If you're going downstairs, it'll actually change. And as you're going down, you'll hear a character walk down the stairs, and it basically says, but it's got the letters as if they are going downstairs.
Right, okay.
And then you've got little bits and puzzles. You have to tap buttons and whatnot to open a locked door.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like, yeah, like reading interactive book to, you know, like, you know, those Dungeons and Dragons sort of books that remind you're reading, and then you have to kind of solve things.
Flip to page 68.
Yeah. Not quite like that, but it reminded me of that, but it's maybe a bad example. But I'm not hugely far into it, but I'll pick it back up, and it's definitely a mystery story that I'm interested in solving and seeing where it goes. But yeah, it's quite cool.
Sweet.
Cool. So that
before
was
we move on.
Yep.
The game show Facebook has just received a message, shockingly, from Ed Marshall. just a question for you.
Does
three.
Your Wi-Fi reach down to the shed?
Yeah.
Ah, cool.
I don't know why I've let him keep his
is it not just
Xbox
I need water?
One while he's chained there. I should take it into the house and use it myself.
He said, my trough needs refilling.
He says, do you think Call of Duty should take a look at how Titanfall has been put together and scrap the campaign mode and just do an online mode, online game like Titanfall, and make the online maps bigger and better? I've been blown away by Titanfall. Most people just get COD for online and never touch the normal game. Sam, can you please empty my commode? Ed.
I am one of those people that plays Call of Duty for the single player game. I usually quite enjoy the single player
game. I've played, I do make a point of playing all the single player games, like for Call of Duty and Battlefield, but at the same time, if there wasn't one, it wouldn't bother me, because the main meat and veg of Call of Duty and Battlefield is the multiplayer.
Yeah, I understand that that's the case, but I don't play it that way.
Part of me thinks if Battlefield 4, if they just abandoned even bothering doing a single player, because it was pretty crap, and just concentrated all their efforts in making the multiplayer work, then it might have been actually better.
Yeah.
So, no, like, I think it's... To me, that makes sense, but other people would rather have at least a bit of single player. And seeing how the single player for Call of Duty lasts, like, 4 or 5 hours anyway, when it's
Well, Sam, that was your comment. You wanted a single player for Titanfall.
I like a single player so I can get into the game and see if I'm going to be able to cope. Because I'm not very good. I'm not very good at...
There's always a difference between playing against AI opponents on like a scripted level.
I know, but it helps me...
On an open map.
It helps me learn the controls and build up to a relatively basic level, probably. Whilst not being hugely frustrated the whole time.
Yeah, that's why they do have that training level in Titanfall, but you've had a quick shot and never got shot at that. But if you did get it, I'd recommend having a few goes at the training to get the controls and embed that.
Yeah.
But still, it is a different ballgame once you're playing real people online.
Yeah.
With shady tricks and whatnot.
Mm. Yeah. So thank you very much, Ed. Just feel yourself lucky that Sam still shares his Wi-Fi password with you. So thank you very much.
Just turn the electricity off.
What's on the menu for him tonight?
Hmm?
What is on the menu for Ed tonight?
Well,
are you feeding him tonight? Is it like once a week?
Seeing as he asked for food, he's just going to have to scavenge earwigs and slugs again.
Just to, as a reminder, device
whatever Ellie Richard doesn't want.
Device 6 is available for iOS, and it's £2.49. My game was Alice the Madness. Alice Madness Returns. So
eventually downloaded.
It actually downloaded just before the last show, I think. But then I didn't have enough time.
I think
to play
it was like 10 minutes before the last show. Yeah.
So it's downloaded. Quite enjoying it. I think I'm going to go back to it and play
it's
a bit more.
Not bad, actually,
yeah.
Is it?
So the I think the biggest thing is I don't feel like I got too far into it in that hour. To really have too much of an opinion on it, but definitely to the point that it weighed my appetite and I wanted to play it more. But
I
basically,
like the weird little children that talk at you.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the very beginning. So you wake up and you're in a kind of psychologist's office, and he's quite creepy. I don't know if he's going to come back at a later part in the game and become something a little bit more than just your psychologist.
He just tells her to repress all
memories. Repress, 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 yeah. And go to Wonderland. And yeah. I know the graphics kind of around
it's sinister.
It is the graphics. Graphics are quite freaky, but they're also done in a sort of layered paper kind of fashion, where I quite like the art styling of it. So it looks like all the characters are kind of cut out of paper, and then they're sort of sitting on top of other layers of paper, and it's kind of moving about like that.
Origami bastards.
Okay. So you start off, and the psychologist kind of talking you through it. You have to walk out of the asylum that you're in, and there's, as Sam says, there's all these kind of kids talking at you. They generally seem to dislike you. Is the consensus. And then as you're walking through, you then meet a little white cat.
You'll be in asylum for being popular.
Well, exactly. You kind of walk through the streets of London, and everybody's made. All the gentlemen are made to look quite smart and sort of middle class to kind of lower upper class type turn of the century, whereas all the women look horrendous. Mm-hmm. Every one of the women look like they're a witch that's just been dressed in a corset or something like that. You then follow this cat, which then drops you into Wonderland, and Wonderland's actually really cool. Kind of walking
through
it. It's really nice. So I kind of had a bit of a problem with the graphics until I got into Wonderland, and it's really nice. The cat's really creepy, so like the Cheshire Cat, he kind of talks you through it, and you're fighting different enemies that come up with you. So there's one enemy that appears, and it's essentially a blob of oil with arms and legs and the face of a doll,
so
kind of
a
China doll.
So it's like a more adult take on that also.
Very much so.
Story, which
it's quite... So the cutscenes are very... freaky. So there's one point where Alice is kind of clawing her face off, and she takes all of her skin off, and it's just kind of like muscle and blood and things like that. But when you're actually playing through the game, there's nothing particularly bad about it. It's just a platformer. I mean, Alice has got splatters of blood down her dress, and the knife she carries has got blood kind of dripping off of it and things like that. But the actual game itself, I've not come across anything that's particularly freaky, but the cutscenes are quite freaky. In a sort of a tame styly, but it's not a kid's game by any stretch of the imagination, but it's good. I mean, I only played about maybe an hour and 10 minutes into it.
So is the twist going to be in that she hasn't actually went to one, just going around stabbing all these posh people up?
More than possible.
Yeah
More
so
than possible.
It kind of starts off that basically Alice has burnt down the family home. That's why she's in an asylum with her like parents and I think little brother, I think it is.
I wonder if she's actually the villain the whole piece or something.
Yeah, so. It'll maybe turn out to be something like that. But I'm probably going to go back to it.
The two worlds before she goes into Wonderland, the two worlds are kind of...
mirror images?
Merging anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things keep... She keeps seeing people as they would be in Wonderland, kind of.
Yeah, so there's a bit just before you go into Wonderland where this Scottish nurse... kind of taps you on the shoulder, and just before she taps you on the shoulder, she's getting surrounded by these sort of, I can only describe them sort of alien rabbits. They're sort of green, and they don't have ears, they've got antenna, but they've got like the two big buck teeth and things like that. So, but that's when she's still in London. So it's a cool game. I'm not actually sure how much it is. It must have been under a fiver.
It was on a deal.
Yeah. I'd recommend it. It's quite a cool little game for Steam. I've only played an hour and 10 minutes, but I definitely am going to go back and play more of it. So, quite enjoyable.
Not before you complete South Park, though.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to South Park first. I'm actually not working this week, so I'm probably going to end up spending quite a bit of time playing games. So,
so you think. You'll get a list of rubbish to do.
Well, we're having to move house, so so I'm probably going to end up packing and crap like that. Anyway, so it's Sam.
Yes.
Your game this week is a game called Unholy Heights. Being a landlord is a difficult job, but it can be harder than running hell, right? So, essentially, you are, from what I could tell, a small chicken who is a landlord in hell to other animals.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't really know which way to go. I've got an overview here. The devil has converted a tenement building into monsters-only housing in Unholy Heights, a mashup of tower defense and apartment management simulation. Sucker monsters into moving to your building, charge them rent, and keep them happy by buying them furniture. Unfortunately, heroes have caught wind of the devil's plan and will stop at nothing to wipe him out. Knock on residents' doors to call on them to battle. Type heroes into devious pincer formations and command your troops to victory. Monsters get jobs, fall in love, have children, and even skip out on their rent. Keep them happy, or you might not have anyone to fight for you and when the heroes come knocking. So you can enjoy that, Sam.
Okay.
For you, Paul, I have Oknyt.
O-K-N-Y-T-T.
Yep. I don't know if you'll be able to read that from there.
Right, okay. Oknyt is a point-and-click adventure game where the player takes the role of small, seemingly insignificant creature, leading it through the dark world filled with beings and areas inspired by Swedish folklore. To help it find a place to belong.
That looks freaking cool.
Mm.
There you go. It's yours.
Thank you.
And what is Sam shafting me with this week?
Got the... I've forgotten the bloody name of it.
That, so the game you mentioned at the start?
Yeah, that Western multiplayer thing.
Yeah, I forgot what you called it.
Yeah.
Well.
Western multiplayer thing, Paul.
Western multiplayer thing.
Yeah,
good.
That's what you got.
Red Dead Redemption. Yeah, I can play that.
No, I honestly can't remember. I'm trying to find it just now. So let's just move on. It doesn't really matter. Or in fact, moving on really is stopping the show, isn't it?
So it is and it isn't.
I mean, Paul will entertain you with a bit of a white rap.
Go. Go now.
Before we go into that, I just want to make a quick call out. We at the British Tech Network have started a Patreon. If you're not familiar with what Patreon is, it's essentially a website that you can go on and you can give us a tiny little bit of cash, whatever you can afford, just for being awesome.
Actually, to be fair, you can give us a lot of cash.
You can give us a lot of cash. But
the more
you don't
cash you give us, the more clothes we take off.
So, essentially, well, what Patreon is you come on and you can give us anything from a dollar a month or nothing if you can't afford it and you don't feel we deserve it.
No pressure. We're not going to start knocking on your doors yet.
No. if we breach certain levels and things like that, we will do things. So,
do things. And you'll never see us hamster again.
So, for example, £2,000 a month, and we will guarantee to release a show. It's $2,000 a month. We will guarantee to release a show on schedule every other week for us, and the other shows in the network basically will do a weekly show. We will be ad-free.
We can guarantee to do one on schedule, as opposed to the really hugely slapdash, half-assed effort we put in at the moment.
It's been like a month since our last show.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. 8,000 for ad-free, and so on and so forth up the chart. So think about it this way. A dollar is roughly about 60 pence, and it's a dollar a month. So if you only listen to The Gamer Show, do you think The Gamer Show gives you 30 pence worth of entertainment per episode? If you do, and you can afford it, chuck us a dollar a month. If you feel that we're worth more than that, chuck us more than that. If you don't feel we're worth that or you can't afford it, that's absolutely fine. Absolutely no problem. We're not going to ever, as far as I'm aware, make this a charge podcast. We have no intentions of doing that or anything like that at this stage. So it's really up to you. Patreon.com/British Tech Network. So www.patreon.com/British Tech Network. And head on over there. And whatever you think it's worth, whatever you feel that you can afford, if you can afford anything, and if you don't want to give us anything, that's also fine. So patreon.com, we'd really appreciate
just
your,
to clarify,
or just
we're
keep
not,
saying
we're
this
not,
usual abuse
we're forever. Not going to get rich off this. We are looking, well, we in this room just now are looking to really not have to pay quite as much money as we have been paying on getting games, because believe
and
me
equipment as well.
I would not be buying a game every 2 weeks if I didn't have to. So
not that we're complaining, we enjoy doing it as
yeah,
well.
But you'd been well, we know how often do we get to play a game all the way through at the pace that we would like to play them?
Not very often, but I mean, we shouldn't be complaining.
I'm not
about
complaining
that.
About yeah. it, I'm just saying.
He's bitching.
also,
I'm
there's like
complaining about
yeah, there's hardware and stuff like that. But no. So that's the end of our little kind of cap in hand to you. We're not gonna drag this on any further. If you could just head on over patreon.com/ British Tech Network if you feel we deserve something, and it's absolutely fine if you think that we don't.
And if you do, you can treat yourself to some gravy.
Indeed. Chiswell might even treat himself to some gravy if you do it.
Yep.
You might.
Just my shoes.
If you want to get a hold of the network, please email us britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. You can get a hold of me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Wheatley, and you can get a hold of the network on Twitter at British Tech. You can also like us on Facebook. We have quite a big community on Facebook. You can also add us on Google+, but to be honest, we're not that good at keeping up to date with Google+. We'll try and be better at that, but we're not that great. So that's us, really. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the same usual nonsense and tomfoolery and Sam reviewing Rome 2. We look forward to it.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye. Bad, don't it?
Have you ever?
Man gravy and custard, yeah.
It wasn't custard, I was just more man gravy.
Slightly off and yeah. Yellowing.
Just stored. In my Lucozade bowl.
Came out of your fridge.
Yeah. I use my gravy bowl for different things.
Yeah. Now you get like motorboating. You go,
ooh. Motorboating?
Yeah. Do you not know what motorboating is?
Yeah, I do, but.
Right.
You've just put two different things together. Well, you heard the word boat and gravy boat.
Well,
and
I'm just,
mix it with motorboating.
I'm just saying.
There's no real way they connect apart from the word.
You go
boat.
Gravy boating instead of motorboating. It's a new thing that you made.
Okay.
Just think how much funnier that would have been if you'd not done that stupid little rant in the middle of and let me finish my sentence. No, I'm not going to stop.
You got a sore throat. What's your voice? There, all of a sudden your voice has come back.
I drank juice. It'll dry out again.
It's not juice. You should know by now, every liquid that passes your lips isn't what you think it is.
Are we good to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Well, it's after a motorboat. What happens is it?
Gravy
boating. Gravy boat. Gravy boat. Bring on the racial abuse.
The what? Abuse? Which abuse?
Racial.
I thought you said lacial.
Racial. Which means you'll cut that in.
I thought you said lacial as well.
Ah, cool.